You made your predictions. Now it's time to put that pen to paper and make your apologies. Week one of the NFL almost up, and some of you already sorry for those sorry-ass takes.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good. Beep. Feels good to, you know, on a Monday after most of week one of the NFL is behind us. Most of it is in our rearview mirror. Feels good to wake up 1-0. I mean, I've been feeling this feeling since after Thursday night because my Kansas City Chiefs got things going early. But it feels good to wake up 1-0, to watch a full slate of games from Sunday 1 o'clock all the way through Sunday Night Football, which gave us some overtime action. And just to know that, you know, a win is all that matters, right? A win is all you can concern yourself with. But there are so many other things that people are taking from week one, either overreacting from it or being fortified in what their preseason predictions and takes were. So knowing that you have a win in your pocket, as well as knowing that you were right about some things, I mean, it's a good day to kind of pump your chest up, right? Like C-Cat, I know your Ravens aren't on the right side of the fence, but at least like your quarterback's healthy and your defense looks good and you're hopeful about the season.
And at least I'm not a Giants fan. That too, man. That's a brutal fan base to be a part of because they are so delusional every single year thinking that they will get a grasp of glory. Not even close.
They had me fooled a little bit during this offseason. Like I saw the Brian Burns trade. I saw Joe Shane looking savvy on the sidelines on the Hard Knocks offseason. Him making deals and I mean, my confidence in what they were trying to cook out there in New Jersey was strong. It was. So much so that I actually, and I don't want to get into fantasy football stuff, but in one of my Superflex leagues, yours, I had Daniel Jones as my number two quarterback. And I saw the stat this morning. I didn't think it was possible, C-Cat. There's a lot of stats you see out there, especially on Twitter these days. You got to be careful what you retweet or like because there's a lot of parody accounts that look like real accounts. There's a lot of trolls out there that'll tweet stuff out there for engagement and purposefully mislead you. But this stat, I still don't believe, and I verified it was the actual Bleacher Report account that put it out, and it's about Daniel Jones, the New York Giants quarterback. Did you see this one that I'm looking for and about to allude to now, CK?
No, I mean, it looked ugly as hell. It looked just as bad as it did last year. I didn't see the stat.
Here it is. Daniel Jones has thrown 3 pick sixes and only 2 touchdowns since signing his 4-year, $160 million deal with the Giants. I didn't go through his game log and look it up, but this is the actual Bleacher Report. I don't see any community notes on it. What you get on X these days, if things are false, it's been tweeted and been up there since 9 o'clock this morning. So 5 hours to be corrected, and it hasn't been so far, C-Cat. Daniel Jones has thrown more touchdowns to the opposing teams than he has to his own team since the Giants gave him $160 million on a 4-year deal, all based off of a season, C-Cat, in which he had mediocre stats anyways. The team won because it was a very weird, funky, our guy Ken LaVica called it a high school offense that Brian Daboll drew up, and nobody really knew how to attack it. And Brian Daboll drug that team into the wild card round, and they actually snuck out with a win, right? They beat the Vikings that year, the Vikings that were like 13 wins, but, you know, negative point differential. It was a very funky NFL season. And that earned Daniel Jones a huge payday, and since he's got that bread, he's Albert Haynesworthing it.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's painful to watch. Oh, I see people fool themselves into 2024. It's going to be different. And the entire world knows it's not unless you root for Big Blue.
So the real question is between Daniel Jones and before we get into our, you know, what we got today, because people do need to put their pen to paper and give some apologies out. Mm-hmm. There are maybe Daniel Jones needs to be apologizing to the Giants brass and the fan base in general. I saw that video of Giants fans outside the stadium waiting on him to boo him. Oh. I thought that was a little overboard. But then I saw that stat this morning, and I was like,
they got a point?
I was like, see, I'm like, all right, that's like,
I hate when fans take it too far. I hate when fans are doing things, going out of their way to treat athletes almost subhuman. But then I saw this stat from Daniel Jones, and I'm like, you know what, dude? At least you got a payday. You should be able to take that kind of heckling if you're performing that poorly, and you got the bag. I don't feel bad for Daniel Jones once I saw that stat. But him and Deshaun Watson right now, I mean, they are competing. They are toe for toe. They're like your boy in the Olympics in the 100 meter. One of them going to win by the skin of their chest on who's going to make our front office look like the biggest idiots for doling out this much cash for this amount of production. I don't know who's going to win. It's going to be a race to the finish line this year. Maybe one of them doesn't finish the season. Neither one of them did last year. So it's hard for us to give a TBD. It's a incomplete grade right now. But, I mean, if you were a betting man, there's no way you're putting any kind of capital on Daniel Jones or Deshaun Watson figuring this thing out this year. Really, we're trying to figure out how the hell does the front office now remix and retool and figure out what the hell you're going to do at quarterback, because those two dudes ain't it.
No, Rex Ryan was on Greeny this morning, and he said simply they should sit Daniel Jones for his own health and for the betterment of the team. Trot out DeVito. I believe trot out Drew Locke. Somebody else, for both the reasons of to protect his health in case somebody out there in the NFL is desperate enough to try their attempt at a Daniel Jones offense.
No.
And it's just so sad to see.
Nobody will.
The
beard didn't help. The sit down with Kay Adams didn't help, even though she pumped some confidence into him. And I saw a tweet earlier, trying to find it now. I think it was Ian Rappaport that tweeted out that Brian Daboll is sticking with Daniel Jones. He will not. Yeah, here it is right here. Ian Rappaport, an hour ago, Giants head coach Brian Daboll confirms that Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback and there will be no change in practice reps. So, whoever the hell the Giants are playing next week, start that defense.
Seriously.
Against them. Start whatever. I don't care if it's the worst defense in the league. Because, again, just by the numbers, Daniel Jones is throwing more touchdowns to the teams in the opposite jerseys than his own, and it is an abomination to just the sport of football. And I don't even think, even if Brian Daboll is the quote-unquote genius we make him out to be, I don't even think he can fix that. And the way that Josh Allen is playing well enough, the way that he's improvising and getting by, like he was really good against the Cardinals. I'm starting to think, like, maybe we overrated how much Daboll and Stephon Diggs did for him. Maybe he just was going to evolve and develop on his own.
We got to do out some apologies, man, because as much as I want to hate on how bad the Giants, not just yesterday looked, but have looked for the entirety of last season, week one last season to week one this season, we also should apologize to people we were wrong about.
We should. We absolutely should. And we did a lot of pontificating, as I like to say. We did a lot of predicting and putting things out there ahead of this NFL season. So it's time for us to dole out our apologies. And I'll be the one to start. And I'm really apologizing on the behalf of everyone. Not myself. I wasn't necessarily on this bandwagon, but I started to believe it. I bought into the headlines. I bought into the hype coming out of Arlington, Texas with the Dallas Cowboys. But following this football weekend, it's time we all gather around and hold hands and give one in unison, harmonious apology to Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys franchise. The whole brass, from Jerry Jones all the way down to Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott, they all deserve an apology, because what he showed us in that 33-17 win over the Cleveland Browns. And on top of that, all of the people were saying the Dallas Cowboys should reset the quarterback clock. They should let Dak Prescott walk next offseason. And the big bright idea outside of just letting Dak Prescott, the guy who has led the team to 12 wins, not one, not two, but three straight years under Mike McCarthy, the guy who was second in MVP voting just last year and threw for 4,600 yards and as many touchdowns as you can try to count, people were saying they should let him walk and go out and get Shedeur Sanders. And then not just that, but then hire Shedeur Sanders' dad, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, when what we saw out of the Colorado football team in week one against North Dakota State, there were some things that were maybe permissible. Oh, I mean, they couldn't stop the run, but that's a championship FCS program. That's no typical FCS program right there. That's North Dakota State. Those are the Bison. And then we saw it even worse against Nebraska. in a game where Colorado was never in it. When Colorado dropped that one, 28-10, but that's just because Nebraska probably, I mean, they didn't have to score after halftime. They got a pick six on Shedeur Sanders. Prime and Shedeur now back to blaming the offensive line for the poor play of the Buffaloes, which maybe does deserve some blame, but didn't y'all tell us this offseason that that thing was rebuilt? You got a bunch of transfers in. You got a five-star in there. To see them do that, and then the Cowboys double down on their guy, Dak Prescott, give him that record-breaking $60 million a year deal, 4 years, $240 million, $60 million a year, $231 million guaranteed. And that wasn't by accident, C-Cat. We talked about it just before we started the show here. That's $1 million more than the previous high mark in the NFL, which was?
$230 million.
It's $231 million is $1 million more than $230 million for guarantees, which was the guy who was facing Deshaun Watson, who looked like absolute crap. The Dallas Cowboys doubled down on what they had. Dak Prescott stepped up and delivered, and that Cowboys offensive machine, led by Mike McCarthy, I don't know if he's still calling it the Texas Coast offense or what. Whatever it was, he was willing to deal in against a Browns defense that last year was number one in the league. Last year, they averaged 13.9 points allowed per game when at home. I know they got some help on special teams, but the Cowboys dropped 33 on their head. Dak Prescott, Brandon Cooks, CeeDee Lamb, they made it look easy. And Dak Prescott deserves your apologies because all offseason long, we were doubting the man's ability to win playoff games or beat really good teams down the stretch. We were doubting the man's ability to be a franchise quarterback. And now we're in a place where he's not just winning a game in week one, but winning a game big over a team that invested almost as much as they invested in himself in a quarterback. They have all kind of questions in Cleveland. They've got nothing but answers down in Dallas right now, and they should be optimistic about how this season could go, C-Cat.
Yeah, it can't be understated how dominant the Browns defense was last year.
Yeah.
Against the best in the NFL, how regular they made the 49ers look on their home turf. Now, the Cowboys offense, kind of think of them as an indoor team who looks really good on their Dallas turf, who looks really good in the dome, all of the speed, all of this, all of that. And that looked like prime Zeke. Zeke, yeah. Hurdle the dude. Ezekiel Elliott, in the year of our Lord 2024, hurdle the dude. The Cowboys looked impressive in week one. They are always going to be the butt of the joke. Everyone loves to hate on the Cowboys. Everybody loves to throw dirt on the grave of the Cowboys, on Dak, on McCarthy, on Jerry Jones. Cowboys, look out. And I don't know if it's really right to say look out, but I think definitively before the 49ers play tonight, one of the favorites in the NFC, if not the favorite in the NFC. After what we saw week one, if the Cowboys continue that for the rest of this season, it's going to be hard to find a team that beats them. I haven't seen the Niners yet, but still.
Hold on, because this game might have been a little late. And C-Cat, you and I were together early Sunday. We were getting some drinks up. We were watching some games, and maybe you fell asleep a little too soon to see what the Detroit Lions did. See what Detroit did, especially in overtime, when it looked like they made the Rams quit. As soon as the game went to overtime and the Lions won that coin toss, that Rams defense didn't want to walk out on that field. But you know who did? All them big beefy dudes up front for the Lions on that offensive line. Jared Goff out there just handing that puppy off to Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, and they just were churning and pounding and grinding. I would absolutely hate to see that team late in the season or in the playoffs in general, because it looks like they got a third, fourth, fifth gear that don't stop going, and it starts with Dan Campbell and it goes all the way through all of those dudes in the trenches. Like, it feels like that O-line is even more dominant than they were last year, and they got Gibbs back there with all that burst. I'm more afraid of that squad than Jameson Williams, too, the receiver.
He looked good.
Out of Bama, like, he's finally woke up. He had over 100 yards and a touchdown. That's going to be a team. That's the team to beat in the NFC right now, if you ask me, coming out of week one.
The Rams took them to overtime on the road. So, like, I wasn't as impressed with the Lions than I was the Cowboys. I thought Cowboys going on the road against that Browns defense. Listen, Deshaun Watson hasn't looked good in what it feels like half a decade now. But taking that matchup, Dallas defense versus Browns offense, off the table, discounting it, I'll make conclusions about the Dallas defense next week. Looking at the offense versus the defense, I think I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Okay, I like it. I'm not mad at the pick. I mean, we both have the Cowboys winning the NFC East, but again, the biggest thing is they deserve your apologies right now because you thought they weren't going to be able to get Dak under contract. They did that. You thought they wouldn't be able to get CD under contract. also checked that box a couple of weeks ago, and you thought going into Cleveland that that Browns defense will be able to put a stranglehold on that squad that had all of the dissension all offseason long. You had Shedeur Sanders just lined up to be a top five pick to the Dallas Cowboys somehow, and you already had Mike McCarthy pre-fired. So you can hope, you can bring in Coach Prime. So you can bring in Coach Prime, who you know has shown us that, yeah, he's the next elite NFL coach. Like, who wouldn't want Deion Sanders coaching their NFL team? I don't get how that's even a thing. But again, sometimes in the summer months, we get a little long in the tooth and we start just throwing stuff out there, just throwing headlines out there. But who deserves the biggest apology? I say it's the Dallas Cowboys. I say it's Dak Prescott, who put on a show and really put the Browns back in their shell. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. I'll be fair to you. This is an amnesty hour. I will not take it out on you that you had preconceived notions about the NFL and you put them out there. But this is your time right now to come clean and apologize to whoever it is, a team, a player, a coach, maybe a fan base. Who deserves the biggest apology following most of week one of the NFL? Hit us up right here on Theoretically Speaking, 888-760-3776. Or you can tap in on social at Theo Dorsey TV on Twitter and Instagram, as well as at ESPN West Palm. The Baptist Health Hotline. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting BaptistHealth.net/ortho. Who or what deserves the greatest apology following week one of the NFL season? Of course, we still have tonight Aaron Rodgers and the Jets taking on Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers in a Monday Night Football game, a game where the Jets can shake off the demons of last year, where everybody keeps talking about that big number four, how many snaps Aaron Rodgers played before he blew his Achilles out. I'm excited for that one, mainly because, like I've been saying all offseason, and the Jets are our dogs. I believe the line's still at about 4.5 right now. This is going to be a Super Bowl hangover for the Niners, and the Jets are going to win the AFC East. Now, the Dolphins made me look smart in that prediction by toying around with the Jaguars, almost losing that game. But also, the Bills got me a little concerned. Maybe Josh Allen does have a season that is MVP-like. Maybe he is good enough to keep the ship going in the right direction for the Bills. Not a lot of impressed me about that Bills defense, but Josh Allen was kind of playing that Cam Newton role from the Cam Newton MVP season, where you don't got a lot of great weapons out there. Your run game is pretty good, and everything centers around you.
See, I'm not warranting an apology on my own behalf to the Bills, because I've been high on the Bills. I have the Bills going as far as the Super Bowl this year, and I'm not backing down from that take, but I do have a different apology to dole out, because I've been thinking about it all weekend.
Uh-oh.
I watched Friday Night Football in Brazil, and I am a loud critic of the Philadelphia Eagles. No Jason Kelce, no problem. They won that football game. They looked really strong. It's a Packers team that many are taking. I mean, with the even Jordan Love played that entire game, so we can't even put it on the injury.
Yeah, no.
Philadelphia looks good. Philadelphia looked really good, even with Jalen Hurts not looking good. It didn't matter. They still put up 34 points in a neutral site. I was proud of Philadelphia.
I will ask you, you said no Jason Kelce, no problem. You didn't see the problems on the fumble snaps? You didn't see the problem on them fell in the tush push? Jason Kelce still matters, man.
See, last year they were tush push merchants.
Yeah.
If you took away that play from their playbook, they wouldn't be able to recover. Last season, this season, you kind of effectively did. They were not as effective with the tush push, and it didn't matter.
It's Saquon Barkley. It's Saquon Barkley, man. He adds another dimension to that offense. The same dimension that I still feel your Baltimore Ravens have with Derrick Henry. We just didn't get to see it. Because, again, I think that was more about the coordinators. I think that was more about the Chiefs' defense. Wait until about week three, week four, week five, when Derrick Henry starts showing up and showing out like that for the Ravens. It's another dimension to your offense when you have a guy, a real, like, X factor in the backfield. along with everything that you still have. Like, that was hard for the Packers to deal with. And also, I mean, I don't want to get inside football here, but Quay Walker taking that wrong angle on one of those Barkley touchdowns. Like, there were a lot of just miscues by the Packers defense that opened stuff up for the Eagles on a Friday night.
You know, I think we're going to have the questions about Saquon Barkley when we look back on his career in 15 years that we have with Matt Stafford.
Wow.
Where if Matt Stafford was not drafted to just the bottomless pit of Detroit failures, would Matt Stafford be looked at one of the quarterbacks of the generation? Would it be in that conversation with Drew Brees and Peyton Manning because of how great he immediately looked with the Rams? And now he's still playing good football. And you saw a couple of throws he made last night where a lot of his career was wasted with a horrible franchise.
I would argue, man, Matthew Stafford, if he was in a good organization, his career, like you just said, literally those two names, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, tit for tat. Like, I would take Matthew Stafford. If you put Matthew Stafford on those kind of teams, like with Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark, Edgerrin James, Tony Dungy on the sideline, and Matthew Stafford at quarterback. I mean, no shade to Peyton Manning, who, again, Manning cast tonight on Monday Night Football. If you want to tap in, my boy Chris Jones going to be one of the guests along with Bill Belichick and another name that I can't remember right now. But I think Matt Stafford, with his arm, his mind,
because I think that about Saquon. I think if Saquon Barkley was not drafted number two overall to the New York Giants and had his career wasted away in the first half, that you'd be talking about Saquon Barkley breaking records looked above Derrick Henry. Because that's how much of a talent Saquon Barkley was coming out of college and how much they leaned on him in New York, got him injured again, and it just took a lot of tread off those tires. I'm really sad a lot of Saquon's career was wasted, but I'm happy that I now get to see him in a well-functioning offense.
Here's what I'll say about Saquon as well, though, too. He's going to get his Christian McCaffrey-like second half of the career window now opened with the Eagles. I don't remember how long that contract is that he signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. I assume about 3-4 years. But he'll be on a contending team with a borderline elite defense, with a quarterback that he knows he's going to be able to stay with for a while here, and some weapons on that offense. Like, if they're able to stay together for the next 3 or 4 years, you can expect McCaffrey-like production out of him, you know, depending on how they get a play caller in there, if they have the right guy right now and Kellen Moore, or what they do going forward. But I do like what you're saying there. Barkley still has a chance. He's still young. Like, you know, it's not like Stafford in that way, because I think he still has 4 or 5 more years of good production in the NFL if he can stay healthy. We're giving out our apologies following week one of the NFL season. Who are you loading up your apology to? I say we all need to apologize to the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. C-Cat is saying not necessarily going to apologize to the Bills because you believed in them, but they deserve somewhat of an apology as well because of what people thought about them, more specifically me. And then we bring in a guy who was out on his team, a guy who literally just on Friday said, I'm done. I give up. My team's going to stink this year. They're absolutely not going to be good at all. He's Joe. He's in Jupiter. He's a Cowboys fan, and I think he deserves the moment to give the Cowboys and Dak Prescott an apology. What up, Joe?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I first want to apologize for what I said to you on your show last week. And
you were so out. You were down. Were you depressed that day, Joe? Are you feeling okay today?
Well, I didn't say I was out. I said I was close to jumping off the ledge. And then what I saw yesterday, it's week one. But remember, we won 40-0 against the Giants the first game of last season.
Yep.
Everything went great. Both sides of the ball, and we all know what happened. But I also want to say that, you know, I don't know if y'all are praying people, but everybody, you know, go to church on Sundays, and people that know me at my church, it's a well-known church all across Palm Beach Gardens and Stewart and all that, they're people, we said prayers together because here I am again, drinking the Kool-Aid.
No, Joe.
We're going all the way to the Super
Bowl. Joe, no. Yeah. Stop. Joe, before you keep going. Yeah. What you did worked. I think you Costanza'd it. I think you kind of reverse jinxed it. You're always heavily optimistic about the Cowboys. This year, you weren't, and they showed up really good. Are you sure you want to reverse that quickly? You don't want to go with what works?
No, I really loved what I saw yesterday. That defense is a freak of nature, I think. I think with Zimmer coming in there, I mean,
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson couldn't breathe, period. Right. I know he looked terrible, but a lot of that's because of our defense. I don't know. I'm sure he's going to turn it around. He has it in him, but he could not breathe. And then, you know, you bring in Overshown, who was hurt, the Texas linebacker that missed all of last year. He looks like he's getting shot out of a cannon every time he goes to the – and then Zeke gets a touchdown. I'm not saying Zeke's going to be a difference maker, but, you know, and then Turpin, who he's like lightning if you give him a chance.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. My apology is from what I said last week on your show. And, you know, I'm not going to give up. I'm once again drinking the Kool-Aid. But anybody that wants to pray for Joe and Jupiter.
We got you.
Because I hope that –
We got you. You started breaking up there. Look, I appreciate the call, Joe. We'll be praying for Joe and Jupiter and his Cowboys. You know, they took Deshaun Watson's breath away. I'm not going to say much about that. I will say this, though, C-Cat.
Yeah.
I will say this with Joe and Jupiter and those Cowboys. The problem with believing so heavily in them right now is, like, this is the story with them every single year. Where the belief comes now. This is where they show out. The regular season is always going to be good. They're going to win 12 games, 13 games. I don't think they can prove anything to me until playoff time. I think that's when I'm going to start learning something real about them.
So it just all out the window, null and void. Even if the Cowboys go with 15 wins this year,
it's like the
got to prove it. I'm still going to take somebody else not named the Cowboys to win the NFC.
I think it's just like the Dolphins to me. I have them winning the NFC East because I know they can be great in the regular season. They have all the tools to do so. They're young enough. They're spry enough. They have the right minds on the sidelines. I just the question's never been that. The question is, can they win those pivotal games in the playoffs? And I'm not saying they can't. I just think that nothing they do right now is going to prove anything to us. They've 3 straight years of 12 wins.
Yeah.
And again, the running game didn't look explosive at all. I mean, you were able to punch it in the goal line, but like that's not – you didn't show me much like that's going to be something that teams have to really prep and plan around stopping. So, again, it looks like the same team from last year, and they're going to be really good. They're going to be really good.
Does the Dak contract make you more optimistic about his production this year or less? Because I wanted a hungry Dak Prescott that was playing on a contract year that was trying to show the rest of the NFL how much he's worth. He got paid fat and happy. I think he's a little less motivated now.
I would say I think the opposite. I think he's just as bought in or invested as he would have been, and even more so because it's like, okay, now you're not disrespecting me anymore, right? So let me... Sometimes there's people that want to prove you wrong, and then there's people that also want to, like, prove you right.
Oh, you think I'm nothing? This, all right, I'm nothing.
Yeah, like, well, no, not, yeah, well, no, I would hope not that way. But I mean more so, like, proving people that believe in you right can almost, depending on the person, be just as strong as proving people who don't believe in you wrong.
Okay.
That energy can still drive you.
So the Cowboys have now valued Dak Prescott as the most guaranteed in the history of the NFL.
Yes.
So he's going to play like a quarterback who is guaranteed the most money in NFL history.
That's what he just showed us week one, and I don't see why he would stop. The question is going to be, again, can they get over the hump in the playoffs? And he's right. He bring in Mike Zimmer. Hopefully that defense can stay in tune and not give up 40 to a team like the Packers, whose number one receiver was like Christian Watson. And then we'll really find out something about the Cowboys. I'm curious, though, before we go to the other side, we got to get to the it's going to be a evolved. It's going to be a different version of the Get Around. I can't wait to show y'all the new and improved SafeBound Get Around, especially on Mondays here. Before we do that, I do want to give out our poll of the week for tonight. We got Monday Night Football. We got the Jets, and we got the 49ers, and we need your opinion here. We need your vote because your vote's going to count. We tweeted it out at ESPN West Palm. Hop on Twitter or X right now and make your voice heard. Which team has most to gain from Monday Night Football tonight? Is it the San Francisco 49ers, who last time we saw them on the football field, they didn't know the overtime rules, and they lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Or is it the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers, who last time we saw Rodgers on the football field in a regular season game on Monday night, well, it was carted off 4 plays into the game? Let your voice be heard. It's our poll of the week brought to you by the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections, who reminds you, as we bring you your Monday poll, hey, that general election's November 5th. That's coming up. And you have to be registered to vote by Monday, October 7th. And in order to make your voice heard, go out and get registered. Your vote is your voice. And we're here to make it count. Visit registertovoteflorida.gov for all the info you need to be ready to go in November. Again, who has more to gain tonight between the Niners and the Jets in a Week 1 Monday Night Football? Maybe it's Bill Belichick being a media darling on the Manning cast. Who knows? That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. On the other side, we whip around. And we touch all of the big games from the NFL season. Maybe we're going to discuss your squad. Maybe we talk about the Dolphins and Tyreek Hill and give you an update on that detainment. Yeah, we got it all here on Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
What a way to open up week one of the NFL. What a great slate of games we had. We got overtime in the Sunday Night Football game, which ended immaculately, a rematch of a playoff game from last year with the Rams and the Lions. We had three teams come back from down two touchdowns. First time that happened in the NFL week one in 45 years. We also had a pair of teams win games without scoring an offensive touchdown, CCAT.
We'll talk about that very soon.
Oh, woof, yeesh. Before we get to any of that, though, I have been condemned. I have been outright attacked. I think I might deserve an apology. As we've been talking about who deserves the biggest apology from week one of the NFL season, I may deserve an apology from the way I was berated in my inbox from my take that Dak Prescott deserves the loudest apology from everyone outside of Cowboy Nation. And joining us right now with his antagonistic take on me saying Dak Prescott deserves an apology is Cade Shumslin from ESPN West Palm Play, as well as from the Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo and Cade Shumslin. You can hear him here on Sundays, Sunday mornings, talking NFL. Cade, happy Monday to you. Congrats to the Texans on squeaking out that win against the Colts.
Yeah, that had to have been the most stressful game of my life. I don't know why they keep doing this to me, why we have to make every one of our scoring plays a third or fourth down. But, yeah, week one out of the way. How are you, sir? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, man. You know I'm always good, especially when we're back here on the microphones. We got CCAT on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos, just theoretically speaking. Week two of 2 hours, I'm pumped up. But then I saw your message, Cade. It sounds like you're out on Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. What gives? Why do you think my take is so terrible there that Dak Prescott needs an apology?
You know, I'm just minding my own business, driving around on a beautiful Monday afternoon. I turn on Theoretically Speaking, starting at 2 o'clock, going from 2 to 4 today.
Thank you.
And I listen for literally 10 minutes, and I hear possibly the worst take Theo Dorsey has ever given in his life. Listen,
that's,
man.
That's doubtable. I got some bad ones, but keep going.
Listen. Listen, Dak Prescott put up a game that we all expected him to put up. You're saying that we all owe him an apology because he can't win on the biggest stages and he can't win in the playoffs and he can't win against good teams down the stretch. Last time I checked, week one on a Sunday afternoon was not in the playoffs and was not deep in the season. The man did what we all expected him to do. The Dallas Cowboys have been 12-5 the last three seasons in a row. The man led the league in passing yards last year. He's doing what we all expected him to do. The Browns gave up the ball so many times on offense, so the Dallas Cowboys had that ball for a majority of that game. Give Dak a break for at least 10 weeks of the season, then we can address whether he needs an apology. But he did what we all expected him to do.
Okay, I appreciate your call on that one, Cade, and I get why you feel like he hasn't proven a point yet. The difference is, Cade, people were saying the Cowboys should let him walk and draft Shedeur Sanders. And then they said we should fire Mike McCarthy and get Deion Sanders as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It wasn't like people were saying, oh, you know, well, they should try to see, well, you know, work it out with Dak Prescott, maybe get him back in the building. Instead of pay that man, people were saying, let that dude walk. And I think in a weekend where Colorado showed their tail against Nebraska and got their tails whipped up and down that football field, and Dak Prescott went up against a team that had not allowed last year, did not allow that many points on themselves, especially not at home, and they had held teams to under 14 points per game in Cleveland. And Dak and them walk in that door, and they have their way. and you're saying he didn't do enough because he got some help on special teams and defense. Well, sometimes complimentary football is good. Sometimes it works out. Passing yards were down all across the league this past Sunday, and when you got the game wrapped up at halftime, there's no need to will and deal and go out there and put up high numbers. Dak Prescott did what he had to do, and he got the major payday. I think it's time to apologize, not just to Dak, but the front office out there in Dallas, because they got it done and they kept the guy who is a real solidified franchise quarterback in-house. I'm still down with apologizing to Dak right now, man.
Yeah, Dak looked great. Dak looks great. He had a reason to not look great on the road against the Browns, in the news the day of.
That's a really good defense.
Yes, absolutely. Defensive player of the year.
He didn't have CeeDee Lamb.
This year and last year. Yeah.
For most of the offseason. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm just like, he has Ezekiel Elliott as his lead back.
When you're given every reason to fail, but you prevail and succeed, I respect you a little bit more.
They were dogs.
If in this game the Cowboys lost by a field goal, it would be expected.
Yeah.
That was what was expected in this game. Like
Literally.
You said, they were 2.5-point underdogs.
Yes.
Of course.
So I just can't.
A blowout win is over providing, over delivering. They did.
They blew out the Browns, a playoff team from last year, who also, you're right, yeah, the Browns offense made it more than easy for the Cowboys to be able to make up ground and to play, you know, to play above their heads, because they did give them the ball back multiple times in advantageous situations. But there were several quarterbacks this past week. There were several quarterbacks yesterday who had help from defense, who had help from their special teams, and they were giving up plays. They were making negative plays for their offense, is also not moving the ball. And they weren't as good as Dak Prescott. And my main thing was not just the fact that Dak can't win a playoff game. That's to be decided if Dak can win a big playoff game in the NFC and maybe take the team to the NFC championship game, which they haven't done in 3 decades. What I do know is that was a playoff defense, and they had their way with them when it mattered, when the game was still in the balance, when the game still mattered. The Cowboys were looking good against them. And on top of that, I don't see a scenario in which Dak is going to be the problem for the Cowboys. I just don't. Like, his number two receiver is Brandon Cooks, who looked pretty good. He lost his tight end in Jake Ferguson. I'm not sure what the details on that is going to be. I just don't. Dak is a consistent product with them. We'll see in the playoffs.
Passing was down a bunch in week one this year.
It was ugly.
You looked back to 2019, there were 61 passing touchdowns. That number has fallen and fallen and fallen. There were 33 passing touchdowns
crazy
before Monday Night Football this NFL week one.
It's absolutely crazy. You think about how elite quarterback play is today, how many young franchise quarterbacks teams feel like they have in-house, all of the wide receiver weapons and how much guys are getting paid. And for that to be the number, for it to be split in half, I know teams are playing too high a lot more. I know teams are trying to keep things in front of them and force you to run the ball, but it is weird. And to Cade's Texans' credit, they ran that ball. They pounded that rock. Joe Mixon had like 30 carries. That was like a throwback win for the Texans.
Do you think it is adding games to the season, which they just added one game in recent memory, it dilutes every single week, which makes not having to play your guys in the preseason makes it not really worth the risk, which makes a lot of rust in week one?
It's
is that what we're
that
seeing, just not great offense?
Partially it is the inability to really get real reps in, real live reps in, because people aren't playing in the preseason. The other side of it, though, is I think defenses are just better. Like, I think in pass coverage, specifically with the way that pass rushers are getting paid, with the way that these defensive coordinators are getting elevated and they're getting smarter and smarter and mimicking each other, and as well as just the defenders in general, like the nickel corners, the safeties. Look at the way that the Falcons were able to get an all-pro safety in Justin Simmons off the scrap heap weeks before the season started. That's how talented I feel like the defensive secondaries are all throughout the league. That Justin Simmons waited until a week or two before the league to get on the team. I just think defenses are better right now, and it's going to take some time for these offenses to click.
Right. Offenses evolved before the defense. The defense has responded, and we're back on a level playing field.
Yeah. And Caleb Williams had to learn that the hard way. Like, that Titans team is not a good team, but, again, that's an NFL defense you're going up against. That's a squad that has a lot of guys with real names and experience behind them, and he thought it was going to be easy. He thought he was going to sling that thing around like he was doing in the preseason. But the reason why I had the faith in the Bears and Caleb Williams wasn't always just necessarily because of how prolific he was. It's because he was an anomaly. He was stepping into a situation that we've never seen a number one overall pick quarterback go into. And that's a 7-win team that was a few games out from the playoffs the year before and added a bunch of talent around him since. That team is just ready-made to be a contender soon. a literal contender. We'll have to hold off on the whip around, the safe bound whip around, because on Mondays we're going to do the whip around and get from game to game across the NFL. Talk about specific matchups. So we'll get that on the other side. But because it's that time of the year and football's all over the TV screens, you might not have but two or three screens in your house. I know a place that's got 80 or more in every single location, and that's Duffy Sports Grill. Duffy'sMVP.com. If you want to track your rewards today, if you want to start stacking up the rewards bucks at your Duffy's, you want to get that MVP card today so you can get into the action. Duffy's also has a full starting lineup of new features for football season, including house-made fried pickles, smoked fish dip, gridiron nachos, which we almost ordered when we were at Duffy's in Delray. We almost ordered the nachos. We thought it would be a little too messy for the live stream. Crispy fried green beans. And then you got loaded and barbecue pig skins. To wash all that down, 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day at your favorite Duffy Sports Grill. Visit Duffy'sMVP.com to learn more. And remember, at Duffy's, our game is always on. It is a Duffy's MVP Monday. We'll be giving out the MVP candidates of the weekend a little later on in the show. So stick around for that. We're also still taking your suggestions on who you're giving your apologies to this NFL season. Our guy Bubba jumped in the chat on YouTube at Theo Speaking. He says he apologizes to the Bills and Josh Allen. They won the game. I believe he was tweeting out some negative things about the Bills as they were down to those Cardinals early.
Praying for his hand, man. He hurt his hand on that last rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
I just hope Josh Allen's good to go week two.
That's just because you got him on your fantasy team.
Yes, and I want for the better of the NFL.
Nah, that's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. I don't hear you praying for Jordan Love yet. We're theoretically speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Who that talking about beating the Marlins? Not the Phillies. Well, at least not the last couple of times they played. Marlins on the road for a while here. They won't be back until Tuesday, September 17th. So they got about a week on the road as they take on the Pirates and the Nationals. But when they do come back to Lone Depot Park, might I suggest you get your tail in that building and check the Marlins out. Whether it's a Taco Tuesday, get some single game tickets for that. What about a 4-for-44? That's right. 4-for-44. I mean, you could bring the whole family out. 4-for-$44. That's what that means. 4 game tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas and waters.
Wait.
Yes.
That's what it normally costs, like, if you go to another baseball stadium's like concession stand.
Yes, but...
Well, you get the tickets included?
Tickets included. So you could be you, the wife, 2 kids. That's 4.
Yeah.
$44, and you get 4 hot dogs, which, again, that might be all you, right? So that might... You might not be able to stretch those, but then 4 sodas or waters, and you get 4 popcorns as well.
Wow.
You're getting full. You're getting absolutely full. Marlins.com/offers. Marlins.com/offers or Marlins.com/tickets to tap in with the fish. Let me check right now. Yeah, man. Back-to-back wins over the Phillies. They're going to be at the Pirates. That's at the Pirates today, 6:40, first pitch. But when they do come back next week, Lone Depot Park, it is temperature controlled, so it don't matter how hot it is outside. That thing is indoors with AC, and they're ready to seat you and have some fun. Marlins.com/tickets. Tap in with the fish. They win some baseball games. C-Cat, great NFL week one so far. We got Monday Night Football tonight. Are you going to do Manning Cast, or are you going to watch regular feed?
The game is really good, and yeah, when it's a good game, I usually go away from Manning Cast. I usually save the Manning Cast when it's just a crappy Monday Night Football game where I want to see the antics that the Manning brothers get into. So I think I'm going to be with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, main feed works for me because I remember last year watching Aaron Rodgers go down on the Manning Cast, and that was significantly more depressing. Because were reacting the same way everybody else was with Aaron Rodgers realizing he popped that Achilles that early into the season. So I'm going with the main broadcast tonight on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, just get the clips. I mean, the big things that pop out of the Manning Cast are going to get tweeted out instantly from several accounts, and you'll see. You'll see the highlights of it, and you'll still be able to watch the broadcast with everybody else. That's my wave as well. What's that? I hear a little grooving. Hear a little music. Oh! What do you know? It's time for the midday midterms. The midday midterms here on Theoretically Speaking, where we, you know, we deliver some grades. I'm a former teacher myself. A little ninth grade English, a little PE. C-Cat, you've taught, or at least you've spoken to classes.
Yeah, once. I hated the snot-nosed kids. Goth chicks not paying me the time of day.
How old were they? How old was the class you taught to? That's the question.
It ranged from freshmen to seniors.
Oh, wow. So high school.
Yeah, high school.
High school grade. Yeah. I mean, high schoolers are hard to keep the attention of, especially today with all their TikToks and their Pokemans. I'm being old guy. Let's start it off. What's our first thing to grade here on the midday midterms?
NFL Red Zone as a whole.
I give it an A. I love it. I mean, there's some people that don't like Scott Hansen, apparently, former host here at ESPN West Palm. I'm a big Scott Hansen guy, and plus it gets you around from game to game. So no matter what you're watching, you always get the updates right there. I give it an A.
I know. Some people are contending that NFL Red Zone ruined football because it's almost like an instant gratification TikTok culture, right? You're getting highlight, touchdown, highlight. Where, God forbid, we see a 3-and-out when it comes to playoff time, where things are moving a lot slower and there's commercial breaks. It goes commercial, touchdown,
3-and-out.
Commercial, touchdown. Like it just a lot of speed bumps in your football viewing experience. I brought this up because, you know, we went through the 1 o'clock window without Red Zone on the big screen yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough. I haven't really done that on a non 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock slate. Really went Red Zone list, kind of difficult.
I will say this. I don't respect as much just sitting at home watching Red Zone with no other main game on. I'm always main broadcast on the big TV. Red Zone is my second screen.
Oh.
That's the more respectable viewing. Because you want to watch an actual game. Like, you want to be able to lock in on an actual game. Notice the game flow. Notice some decisions that coaches make in moments. Just Red Zone ain't going to give you that. Red Zone's a second screen thing.
Second screen is the whatever we get in the area. So it would have been the Dolphins and then the Browns-Cowboys game yesterday. I go Red Zone, main screen, second screen, whatever games I'm getting.
I'm impressed. I'm shocked by that. I thought you were more of a junkie for it, and I thought I was less of one. But
so I don't love ball is what you're saying?
You don't love ball, bro. You don't love ball.
Gas station roller cuisine. Do I lose you there? Do you know what that means?
No.
So in a gas station, you kind of have like the hot dogs or the taquitos.
Oh, yes, yes.
On the rollers that are sitting there.
How old are we? If we're grading this at this age, I'm giving it an F. Back when I was in college, a B plus.
I used to broadcast high school baseball games, and I would take the bus with the team to every road game. And these games were like 2 hours away. So we would stop at the local gas stations in that town. Usually they were called like an on-cue back in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I had maybe 3 out of 7 meals a week were just hot dogs or buffalo chicken wraps on the rollers, and it made me feel like garbage.
Yeah.
Shoving that down your gullet and then sitting on a high school bus for another hour and a half, gas station roller cuisine left a scar on my heart. Like, it's on the same level of gas station sushi nowadays. I can't even look at it.
So what's your grade?
I gotta go extremely low.
Yeah.
I gotta go with a D-. Because it got me hungry. Like, it quenched my hunger nights. If I didn't have that food, I would have probably been very sad. So got me through then, but it left a hard spot in my heart.
It should. That's kind of the side effects of gas station food. You're not supposed to thoroughly enjoy it and keep it as a mainstay as you grow into your latter years. What's next?
My mystery vacation abroad. Now, let me break it down for you.
Yeah, what the hell is this? Because you are an insane. Actually, lower the music. Lower the music for this one. C-Cat's mystery abroad vacation, which, by the way, he has a haircut today. I give it an A-plus because he's letting it breathe and he's not rocking a hat. So jump on the YouTube stream at Theo Speaking and comment and tell C-Cat he looks great with his new haircut. And we give it an A-plus and stop wearing hats the day after you get a haircut. But yeah, talk about this vacation.
So we booked this vacation in January. And it's a company that you fill out a questionnaire. You fill out where you've been or where you definitely don't want to travel to. And you tell them your budget. And then they send you a proposal that includes a couple of the examples of the type of excursions you'll do, what the climate's kind of like, a clue or a half what time to get to the airport, and they say just be at the airport at this time. That's when you're going to find out where you're going to. The vacation is about 7 to 8 days long, and we know our flights are 17 hours in total. There's a connection in the middle of that. So I know on Wednesday morning, I'm going to show up to Miami International Airport, and I'll find out where I'm going for a week. So I'm going to be absent from the show.
Wow. So starting Wednesday morning, you're gone. You're going to come back, I'm guessing, the next Thursday or so?
Yeah, Thursday, 7 a.m., I land back in MIA.
And you have no clue between going to MIA and coming back what the next week and some change is going to look like.
The only thing I know is that it's not going to be in the Caribbean because we said we don't want to go there. It's not going to be in Spain, not going to be in like London or anywhere in the UK, and it's not going to be in the US of A. So it's going to be somewhere outside the country and outside the UK.
Palo Alto, Brazil?
Maybe. It really could be. I mean, I hadn't really cracked down on the hours of where the flights could go.
Yeah.
Because I think we're going to go somewhere in the country first and then connect to where we're going abroad. But
oh
yeah. So I, you know what? I might be in Afghanistan this time next week. So if you don't hear from me again, it's because they sent me to a place where there's a war going on and they needed troops.
I was about to say, that's the problem with this is you don't know what their whole, like, you don't know who they're bought in with, who their partners are. They might have something in their back pocket where they're like, yeah, we need some people in this place at this time, and you're going to be a flunky for that.
Am I being trafficked? Is that what this is?
Technically.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I don't know where I'm going.
But technically you're being trafficked, but at will.
Yeah, I
you're
am
volunteering
willingly signing up for this, diving headfirst in. And they do send you clues. But we've decided to not look at the clues. We have 8 clues that were sent to us
Wow. Every
single month since the day we booked. And we said, you know what? We don't want to guess it. Or we don't want to like maybe...
Like a baby reveal thing.
Yes. We don't want to try to guess it and then get disappointed if we get our hopes up for a location and we get some sent somewhere else and then we're sad. So we're going in completely blind. We're going to get to Miami Airport, open up the envelope. They've already sent it to us.
Yeah.
So if we wanted to, we could find out today or even like last week where we were going. But no, that's not the spirit of the surprise.
I'm interested in these clues now. What form did they give you the clues in? Is it mail or is it an email?
Like
or?
WhatsApp.
Okay.
Yeah, so essentially, yeah.
I would love
message.
To see. Would you be able to send us the clues? And while you're gone, like Wednesday, we try to decipher the clues to try to guess where y'all are going to be at?
Sure.
Maybe
why not?
You send me those clues. And then on Wednesday, when you take off, and we'll probably know, we'll be able to check in with you after the show. We'll try to decipher the codes. 8 different clues on where the hell C-Cat and his girlfriend Deanna is going to be. And again, hopefully it's not a war zone. And hopefully they don't need you as a troop. Because again, you're a guy that drinks super sugary drinks. As well as you've been fueling yourself off gas station food, so I'm not sure how strong of a troop you'll be.
I'm not filled for the military.
I don't know. I'm not saying you're not.
I can fill out some documents. I don't know if they need me.
What would you? I mean, I would be like a good PIO guy. Like I can do some reports and write ups for sure.
I think I'd be troop morale guy. You know, I'd organize the pickup basketball games going on in the barracks. That's what I would do.
You wouldn't be a morale guy. You're very like a even keel. You're very like you know right monotone-ish with stuff.
I guess so. Maybe I'd be the chef. I don't know how to cook, though. But maybe given like those preserved-type meals where you're making something out of nothing. Because I don't cook my own food.
So like little Hungry Man's where you're like just throwing them in the oven?
Mm-hmm. You know how people cook in prison?
Yeah.
Like they'll make wine and stuff
like
that.
I don't
know
how people cook in prison. I actually have never been.
There's always one guy in the cell who's cooking up something nice. You ask yourself, how did he get that food in there? But he somehow, some ways, makes some like nice crusted chicken.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of selling themselves their, the dollars
they get. What are you basing this off of? A movie?
A Netflix documentary I watched where, yeah. So the idea was in this maximum security prison where like the baddest of the bad are there, murder people.
Yeah.
They just took all the guards out of the jail for a month to see what would happen and like created their own society. Some guys got stabbed. But yeah, it's worth watching on Netflix. I forgot the name of it, which was really unfortunate, but I'll tell you after the break.
Some guys got stabbed. That's the reason why, and again, on the other side, look, we got to be protective of our athletes. We got to give out some apologies, and I think there's a certain law enforcement agency that's lining themselves up right now to give an apology to an NFL superstar that was detained before his big game. And that's the theme of today's show. Who are you giving your biggest apology to after week one of the NFL season? We'll tap into that on the other side as we enter the happy hour on Theoretically Speaking. That's C-Cat. He's going to parts unknown soon. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.